America Meditating Radio Show, we collect wisdom, inspire each other, and empower hearts 24/7. Hi, I'm Sister Jenna. Join me and guests on Blog Talk Radio as we amplify stories that compel us to be more for ourselves and everyone else around us.
Are you in need of a tech service company that's going to deliver the best solutions for your business? Then Atronica is your solutions headquarters. Here we specialize in your individual needs to make sure your business shines. For more information, please call 301-417-0070 or visit us at our website at atronica.net. Atronica, where we deliver for you.
Are you stressed, frustrated, or annoyed at work? You don't have to be. Soothe your mind and open your heart as Sister Jenna guides you through a peaceful, calming meditation that will prepare you to focus, be present, and most importantly, bring you back to your inner peace.
There's no place like home.
Getting home safely is just a click away. Find the right seat for your little one's age and size. Visit safercar.gov/the right seat for more information. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
The Meditation Museum in Silver Spring, Maryland offers a variety of courses and activities to make your life go a whole lot smoother. Located at 9525 Georgia Avenue, you will be able to experience the beautiful silence that's in the space. There are courses in Raj Yoga meditation, positive thinking, stress-free living, and personal development classes. For more information, call us at 301-588-0144 or visit us online at meditationmuseum.org. Hello, everyone, and welcome to America Meditating Radio. I'm your host, Sister Jenna, and we're broadcasting from the beautiful Meditation Museum in the nation's capital. Well, I think we finally made it into spring, but, you know, Washington has its ups and downs with its weather conditions. But despite all of that, it wasn't as torturous of a winter as we've experienced it. I know we had blizzard 2015 or 2016, they call it, which was really dynamic, I have to tell you. But despite all of that, I think we might have had about two or three really spins of that. But apart from that, it was really one of the nicest winners I've ever explored. And it's like nature becomes a precursor sometimes in amplifying the way that we feel. Very rarely when you're walking around during the winter time of D.C., especially if there's a snow blizzard, do you see a lot of smiling faces. Beauty is so important, but the inner beauty is most important. Do you remember when you were much younger and your parents used to emphasize, at least it depends on your parents, but they used to emphasize on the importance of really being a nice person, really coming from a place that was authentic and true. They didn't quite put it in those words, but they used to tell you how to be, how to treat yourself right. And as we grew up, you know, we bumped into people that seemed like they weren't very nice, or sometimes they seemed to get what they want by being unkind. And we hold certain energies in our systems and certain traumatic things that we go through, whether it's by choice or by circumstances due to karmas of our past. But we tend to hold certain energies in our system, and it affects nature. Sort of like if you water a plant too much, it dies. If you give a plant too much sun, it dries up and eventually dies. And if you just completely ignore a plant, it will also die. And I think our body, our mind, our consciousness, it's all the same. There's an art in understanding how we cure our own minds and cure our own bodies. And I'd really like my listeners to stay tuned as we get Tara Mackey on the line shortly. And Tara's going to take us through her journey and what are some of the things that she's been up to. And she's got this incredible blog, the Organic Life blog, that's doing incredible work. So Tara's going to tell us about, you know, what's been her greatest challenge and how has she been able to overcome it. And hopefully her journey of overcoming her own stories will help someone who's listening today. And so before we get Tara on the air, let us go into what we do best here on the America Meditating Radio, and that is to go into a meditation experience without any expectations whatsoever. As we see the nature of the country is in deep need for reflection and being sincere, genuine, truthful, pure. And so for the nation and for our own lives, we dedicate the Letting Go Meditation CD for you. Breathe in deeply. Om Shanti. The time that we choose to be aware doesn't necessarily require me to just sit and meditate. But even while I walk and move around, I can be in a meditative awareness, which is awareness of the soul, the original, eternal, imperishable being of light. For a little while, I'd like to invite you to be present, to be here, and to be now. Allow your mind to settle in the moment, to relax. This meditation is about awareness. It's about becoming aware of your original and eternal self. It's about connecting to your truth. Let go of your name. And observe yourself feeling nameless. Let go of your gender to discontinue thinking you're a man or a woman. Let it go and observe how you would feel walking around without a gender. Let go of the role that you play and let go of the titles that you own. Observe how you're feeling as you are gradually letting go. let go of your religion and put it aside just for now. And let go of your nationality and even the language that you're accustomed to. Imagine you have no name, gender, role, title, religion, nationality, or even a language. Ask yourself, how do you feel at this moment? And in this feeling, who would think of you, and who would you think of? The Supreme Soul would think of you, and you, the liberated soul, would think of the Supreme. In this state of absolute freedom, I am truly who I am. A free, peaceful, pure, immortal, and eternal soul. Allow yourself to just be absorbed in this awareness. This time, welcome back. That was Letting Go from my Off the Grid Into the Heart Meditation CD. I hope you really like that one. It's actually one of my favorite tracks on the CD because I think it takes us into a place of experience. And we have often seen that we fluctuate when we're attached to our name, our gender, the way that we look, the way that we should look, to the role that we play, to the money that we have or don't have. But if we can put aside all of that, knowing that that's like the costume or the packaging that I, the soul, am playing my part in, then it gives me more an amplification of energy that if I have to play my part out through my name, my role, my religion, my gender, it will come with divinity and beauty. Speaking about beauty, the America Meditating Radio is very happy to welcome Tara McKay. Tara is the number one best-selling author of Cured by Nature, a global motivational speaker, model, and entrepreneur. She makes music, writes, acts, and lends herself to sustainable and conscious campaigns and serves as the CEO of her sustainable company, The Organic Life. Growing up in New York City, she suffered from a dependency on pharmaceutical medications for various ailments, and Tara began her natural wellness journey to give her body the break it so desperately deserved. Her charisma and entrepreneurial spirit is evident in the passionate community she has built in her digital realm, the Organic Life blog. And Tara has been on the CW Travel Leisure magazine, Mind Body Green, Lucky magazine, you name it. Today we're very happy to welcome Tara McKay to the America Meditating Radio. Hi, Tara.
Hi.
Welcome. How are you?
I'm beautiful. How are you?
I'm great. Well, you know, congratulations for stepping into your power and telling yourself, that's it. My soul has enough power to move this body and take my life where I want it to take me, What was it that made you make that final decision where you just knew that morning you woke up? Because I have to tell you a little story before we go into the conversation. I had like three friends, one from China, one from Thailand, and the other one from Trinidad. And all of them were on this green juice, right? Now, I'm half Jamaican, half Indian, okay? I love me cooked food, and my Jamaican side would love chicken jerk, pork, and you name it. And then my Indian side is like, save a cow, do not hurt a cow. You've got to go veg. You've got to go vegetarian. Anyway, you know, 25 years later, I'm a vegetarian, but they come into my life at different times, and they're having this juicer. And I'm going, wow, how lame. Oh, my God, who would give up food? I would find myself laying down there in bed, and on occasions I'm thinking, God, when we were babies, you know, we had like fluids, and when you're sick, they put on an IV and it goes right into your system. And I found myself for months thinking, I wonder if my juice is really good. I woke up one morning, asked my staff, I says, could you just fix me a juicer? Would you believe for 4 months I went on only juicing with just maybe one steamed meal per day? And I loved it. I loved it. And then I was at a conference and I had a pizza and that was it. I never went back to juicing. I know how hard it is to make shift. You know, like what was that thought that emerged in you?
The end of your story may be the most profound part is you had a pizza and never went back. Because that is really what we find happens. And for me, I was so sick and tired of being sick and tired. I'd been on prescription medication at 24 years old for 11 years already. I was on about 12 different kinds of medication a day, and I really didn't know what worked and what didn't work anymore. My grades were slipping, and I'd always been a straight-A student, and I think for me, that's when I got very alarmed, because for the first time in my life, I felt dumb. And a lot of the times when we're told we're dumb, it makes us feel less than, or if we're shown we're dumb because, you know, we're taking things that are actually inhibiting all the power we have within us, then that's going to take our power away and make us feel that way. And I really was done having my power taken away. I realized I'd been giving it away my whole life. I'd been giving it away to pills and to other people, most of all, but also to toxic ideas about life and what that meant and what that could look like. So I just kind of started over.
Wow, interesting. Now, was there like an emotional, physical pain, or was there something that you saw? Like, remember, it was three people that came in my life, and I have to tell you, one of them was so skinny, I was thinking, there is no way I'm going to go in that juicer. So she wasn't really an inspiration for me, but I just knew that maybe she went over the board. But I still felt that there was something good. So I was getting these images that were triggering something in me. Was there something that you saw that just said, Tara, come on?
Yes, actually, my best friend took her own life. And about a month later, I tried to take my own life. And because she was one of the most intelligent people that I had known, and I was like, she's got to know something I don't know. You know, I went all these bad places with it. And it was when I tried to take my own life and it didn't work that I was like, you know what? I don't have a choice anymore. I have to figure this out because I don't want to be in the same place as one of my very good friends. I don't want to make the same choice that she made. I don't want to understand what it takes to get in a casket and the only person put you there is you.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, that was probably, I mean, I had seen a lot throughout my life. My biological parents are both, they were both drug addicts when I was a kid. My grandparents adopted me at 7 years old after I'd seen my mom overdose at six. It was kind of a no-brainer for everybody. And so I had already seen a lot, and I was kind of done letting life be tragic every day, which is hard to do because a lot of people don't feel, and I at the time didn't feel like, I had been told actually by doctors that my emotions and my life were not in my control. And a lot of people feel that way whether somebody tells them that or not.
Right. I know it's so interesting how sometimes we can find very negative situations in our life, and even as we're going through them, it just feels like hell, but they're actually opportunities or steps that are actually moving us into a power that we haven't yet magnified in our own being. Tell me a little bit about how did your scientific, personal, and spiritual knowledge actually help you in battling those personal, I would call them limitations of awareness, and bring you more into this victorious place, or this place where you're leaning into all of the things that you were leaning away from before?
That's a really great question. So my scientific background is in biology, specifically genetics, which surface, or when you get into it, helps you understand yourself. It sometimes confuses you about yourself, rightly so, but I think it definitely, combined with personal and spiritual knowledge, scientific knowledge can be very powerful because it's undeniable. There are just undeniable things that your body does. Your cells regenerate. There are just all these opportunities for your body to expand and grow. And so taking my scientific background plus my personal experience plus tapping into some spiritual knowledge, I had grown up Catholic and I had kind of abandoned my religious beliefs in lieu of scientific pursuits, thinking that they're, of course, mutually exclusive things, and they're not. There is God in science, there is science in God, and it really did help me in figuring out exactly where I wanted to go with my life and what I wanted to do, not right away, but it has created the steps that I've been able to take mentally and physically and emotionally to help myself, and I've tried to put as much of that in my book as possible. So most of the points that I make in my book, Cured by Nature, actually backed by science. Mm-hmm. Ways that you can heal yourself and things like that are totally scientifically backed, even, you know, as far as very hard physics backed. So that really does tend to help people understand that they're capable of healing themselves, which can be a very scary and off-the-cuff concept.
Right. Well, you know, nowadays for people who are so skeptical about the spiritual dimension, they want proof. And for me, the proof is health, a good state
right.
of mind, a sense of believing in that you're bigger than even, you know, living in a small way, and that you're here to have a life of purpose and meaning. So congratulations on the release of that book, Cured by Nature. Please tell us a little bit about a book in more detail. Like, what is it that you've learned after completing that book?
Great question. I learned a lot about myself because the book is basically my entire life. You know, what my mom was doing before I was even born to how she was taking care of herself, which can affect this too. And up until probably about 3 or 4 months, you know, before I turned the book. So it taught me a lot about myself. I went through kind of an entire journey just in writing the book itself. And
sure.
You know, I've been blogging since I was 14, so almost half my life.
Mm-hmm.
And
you're such a baby.
I call myself the grandma of blogging. So
yeah.
It evens out in that way. But so for half my life, and so my publishing company actually found my blog and came to me and asked if I wanted to share my story in the form of a book. And I have always wanted to write a book, and I think the book itself, getting the book deal itself, was part of the manifestation of, you're right, getting healthy is probably the best proof of all that you're living your truth and that you're really living exactly the way that nature intended and that you were put on this earth for, because optimal health is your best chance of showing other people what you have to offer. You know, if you're sick in bed, which I was for a very long time after I came off my medication, you can't change the world very much. So you can try, but it really isn't going to happen until you can, you know, you're at your peak. I think for me, peak performance is probably my number one interest in life at the moment, because I had to go from being bedridden basically after I came off my medication for over a year and a half. I woke up nauseous every single morning to just wanting to wake up every morning and just kick as much ass as possible. So,
right, there you go, there you go.
I wasted a bunch of time. Not wasted, I mean, it was all a lesson, but God, I've got that drive now. So
right.
If we could all wake up with that drive, I think we'd all be doing ourselves and the world a great service.
I agree. I've got an interesting question to ask you, because I've been noticing lately, you know, just thoughts. You know how thoughts have a way of entering your consciousness, and if you're not vigilant, they can consume your consciousness, and before you know it, 2, 3, 4 months later, you're like, how did I end up here? Because I wasn't paying attention to who I am and what I'm going through. How did mindfulness and meditation play a role in your journey of really starting to cure yourself?
I have a saying that I live by, which is always stay guard at the door to your mind, because it is the most precious asset that you have, and without it, nothing else is going to get done the way that it should get done. And so I think for me, I really have literally put like psychological guards up where I try not to let negative self-talk enter because I recognize it as self-talk. I recognize every thought that I have as a thought that I've accepted and created myself and therefore can get rid of or choose to hold on to. And that's true for all of us. That's true for anybody, you know, saints and everyone else alike. We all have the capability of doing this, and I think it's become one of the most powerful forms of self-control that I've found in the last 5 years of my life, and something that I didn't know existed. So it's wonderful to know that you have control over your own thoughts, because I was actually told by many doctors the exact opposite. So it's not true.
Yeah, what the doctors know. Hey, happiness is a big conversation, right?
I mean,
a lot of people who have mastered the media as well, they'll always put happiness as a tweak so that they can get attention. But when you talk about finding happiness and discovering your true self, do you have like 3-4 steps? Like, how did you go about at least journeying on it? Because, you know, I can tell you that I'm good, I'm happy, but I get these melancholy moments, which I know come from something of the past or something that's unfulfilled, which I still have to put some energy and time in. So even though I know happiness is sitting in me, and I know that I was born with happiness in me, I know that some old stories or issues of my past are very, very prominent. And so I deal with them when they come up, but I'm working it through. What are some steps that you have taken to amplify your happiness and discover a little bit more about who's Tara?
I think kind of what you were just talking about, one of the biggest steps is addressing your limited beliefs. I talk about this in the first chapter of the book, which seems to be one of the most helpful for people, or at least serve as kind of the best guidebook, that we all have, you know, self-abusive beliefs and limiting beliefs that we carry around with us, whether it is because we feel like there's a part of our past that we're a prisoner to, or because we may feel unworthy. And sometimes it's just stuff we have to work through. Sometimes it's just unresolved issues that we haven't yet worked through. And that there's nothing wrong with you because you're not happy all the time. Happiness isn't the goal. Balance is the goal. And having a balanced life. So don't get down on yourself because, like, you get sad every once in a while. That's life. And if that didn't happen, something would be wrong, I think.
You wouldn't be normal.
That's the good and the bad. Exactly. It wouldn't be normal.
Yeah.
So I think addressing what your limited beliefs are and what you just need to work through, and then assessing what normal looks like for you and what you want it to look like, writing down a list of not goals, but things you really feel like you're on, like things you have to do before your time on this earth is up, I think is probably one of my favorite exercises to get back in touch with, you know, healing yourself and finding your true self, is just figuring out why you're here again, because we get so caught up in school and bills and work and people and relationships and babies and dogs and you name it.
Right.
People forget to remind themselves of why they're on this earth. And it's important for you, no matter who you are. I know a lot of people, probably not a lot of your listeners, but a lot of people don't think meditation or mindfulness is for them because they don't practice it very often, or they haven't practiced it before. They feel like they don't understand it, or it's not for them, or, you know, they work in a corporate environment and they don't feel like spiritual people. You don't have to be a spiritual person.
Right.
To get in touch with yourself and to live a better life.
I like that. You don't have to be a spiritual person to get back in touch with your life or to be yourself. That is so true. You know, we only call it spiritual because we perhaps moved so far away from us, we need to coin it something or focus something on it.
Yeah, exactly. I actually agree. I really think I try to call it, you know, your true self, which is, I think, your most, like, spiritual, whatever that means for you. And it's totally different for everyone. I think that's why there are so many religions and so many different sects of belief in the world, is that people, they want something that feels like them. And the only thing that's really going to feel like you is you, right? So just getting in touch with you is probably the best way to feel God and to feel connected and to feel spirit and to feel moved and inspired.
I like that. Now, before we come to a close with our wonderful conversation, the Organic Life blog, what can we find there if we go to it? Just give us a little bit of a tweak.
you can find ways to live a better life in all aspects, food, health, fitness, ways to meditate. I mean, if you're looking to live better, you'll find something on there for you.
That's it.
That's it.
Yeah. And give us a website as to where we can find it.
Oh, sure. It's theorganiclifeblog.com. You can also grab my book on there. I've got some fitness plans. You can see what some of my favorite products are and some things like that as well.
That's fantastic. You know in Hindi what your name means, Tara?
Uh-huh.
Do you know what it means?
Star, right? Doesn't it mean star?
Yeah. So you are a star that's lighting up the world, and we thank you for that.
Thank you, Sister Jen. I really appreciate that. It means a lot to me.
Leave us your favorite life quote that you're living by currently.
Be happy, stay weird, live well.
Love it. All right, Tara McKay, thank you so much, and keep up the good work, okay?
Thank you, Sister Jenna. Have a good one.
Take good care. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I love some of the things Tara left us with. One of the things that stood out for me was find your normal. You know, what does your normal look like? Get back in touch with figuring out why you're here. And, of course, meditate, meditate, meditate. I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Tara McKay. Just go to visit her at Organic Life Blog. And our show would not be complete if we didn't have the amazing Sister Gita, who's going to give us a reading for the day. Sister Gita?
Good day, and greetings of peace to all of us beautiful souls. So we're going to choose something from the book. Just a moment. I am an important actor in life's drama. Here it goes. Have I ever stopped to think how important I am? Did I wake up this morning with firm resolutions to play my part in life to the best of my ability? The whole of human history is like an unlimited drama, and each of us has our unique role to play, whatever that role may be. In an ordinary play, there are understudies, but in the play of life, out of the 5.5 billion actors on the stage, not one of them can play my role better than I. I am a very special person. No one's role is more important than the others. Some may appear to be more significant, but each has its own beauty and very specific purpose. Take the example of a motor car. My car may have cost thousands of dollars. But if my spark plugs, which cost but a few dollars, are not sparking, then my flashy, speedy car will not move an inch. Unless, of course, I push it or charge it. The other point to remember is that a spark plug cannot be used in place of a water pump, and a gearbox cannot play the part of a radiator. Each one has its own speciality and reason for being here. Only when I understand my role in life and play it with attention and accuracy can I experience contentment and a mind free of jealousy. Om Shanti. So honor your role. I will endeavor to do that today. A wonderful day. Om Shanti.